News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. The death toll in the wave of violence that broke out and spread in areas of northeast Delhi rose to 13 on Tuesday, with more than 150 reported injured. Authorities at Guru Tegh Bahadur Hospital, where several injured persons were brought in throughout the day, confirmed the number of casualties. All private and government schools in northeast Delhi will remain closed today, and CBSE board exams scheduled in centers in these areas stand postponed. The CBSE said it took the decision based on the request of the Directorate of Education and the Government of Delhi and to avoid inconvenience to students, staff and parents. The violence flared up on a day when Prime Minister Narendra Modi and United States President Donald Trump held discussions on several issues including trade, defense and other deals. On Monday, a Delhi police constable and three civilians had died in the clashes that broke out between groups supporting and protesting against the contentious Citizenship Amendment Act. As violence continued on Tuesday, the Union Home Ministry drafted an IPS officer S.N. Srivastava as the new Delhi Police Special Commissioner, Law and Order, repatriating him from the Central Reserve Police Force to take control of the situation in the national capital. He later attended a security review meeting called at Home Minister Amit Shah's residence. Earlier in the evening, the Delhi police said they are responding to incidents involving antisocial elements and 11 FIRs have been filed against those involved in the violence. Delhi police spokesperson Mandeep Randhawa said the situation in northeast Delhi is under control, even as several parts of the national capital continue to reel under violence. "We are responding to incidents involving antisocial elements. Sufficient force has been deployed in northeast Delhi. The Rapid Action Force and Central Reserve Police Force has also been deployed," he said, adding that senior police officers are monitoring the situation closely. The police conducted flag march in northeast Delhi's Bhajanpura and Khajuri Khas after the areas witnessed arson and stone pelting. Special Commissioners of Police Satish Golja and Praveer Ranjan led the flag march. "We are taking appropriate actions. The required force is being used. Tear gas and mine lathi charge has been used to control the crowd. We will detain the miscreants and appropriate action will be taken against them," said Golja. The Ministry of Information and Broadcasting issued an advisory to all private satellite television channels, asking them to be cautious about content that may incite violence or promote anti-national attitudes. "It is hereby reiterated that all TV channels are advised to be particularly cautious with regard to any content which is likely to encourage or incite violence or contains anything against the maintenance of law and order or which promotes anti-national attitudes," said the advisory. Several incidents of violence were reported from Maujpur area of northeast Delhi, with two groups of people out on the road armed with rods and sticks. An angry mob raising incendiary slogans set ablaze a motorcycle in Maujpur. A fire brigade vehicle was also seen rushing to the spot. Security personnel tried to disperse the groups from both sides who were armed with rods and sticks. They also resorted to stone pelting. However, the crowd outnumbered the security personnel deployed in the area. Media personnel covering the incidents were also targeted. They were abused, heckled and driven away from the spot. The stretch between the Jafarabad and Maujpur-Babarpur metro stations were filled with stones and burnt vehicles. The injured were rushed to hospitals in police vans. Fire brigade vehicles were also seen rushing to the spot. Security personnel tried to disperse the people from both sides and fired tear gas. On Tuesday evening, women protesting against the CAA outside the Jafarabad metro station vacated the road. U.S. President Donald Trump said on Tuesday that issues involving the Citizenship Amendment Act are up to India and asserted that Prime Minister Narendra Modi wants people to have religious freedom. Trump, who held comprehensive talks with Modi on the second and the last day of his visit, said, "These were great and fantastic 2 days. I'm going to be not at all controversial because I don't want to blow the 2 days plus 2 days of travel on one answer, one little answer. Like John will ask me one simple question and you will blow it out and that will be the end of the trip. You won't even talk about the trip, so I will be very conservative in my answers if you don't mind," Trump said at a press conference. Describing the Kashmir issue as a big problem between India and Pakistan, he said, "It is a thorn in a lot of people's sides," and reiterated his offer to mediate between the two countries to ease the tensions. "If anything I can do to mediate, I will do," he said, adding that Pakistan figured in his talks with Modi. "I have good equations with Pakistan PM Imran Khan. They are working to control cross-border terrorism," he said. He said he discussed the issue of religious freedom at length with Modi during his comprehensive talks and that the Indian leader wants people to have this freedom. "We discussed it," Prime Minister Modi said. "They work very closely with Muslims," Trump replied when asked if he raised the allegations of discrimination against Muslims in India. Trump described Modi as a terrific leader and India as a tremendous country. "We did talk about religious freedom. Prime Minister Modi wants people to have religious freedom in India. If you look back, India has worked hard for religious freedom," Trump said. To a question about India's new citizenship law, he said, "I don't want to say anything on CAA. It is up to India. I hope it will take the right decision for its people." Asked if he discussed the incidents of violence taking place during his visit, he said that he didn't discuss individual attacks and that it is up to India. He also said that India is buying a lot of military hardware from the US. On the issue of trade, he said India is probably the nation with highest tariffs and noted that the Harley-Davidson has to pay a huge amount of tariff. "The US has to be treated fairly," he added. He also talked about his country's peace deal with the Taliban with Modi and said that India will like to see it happen. To a question about reports of Russia trying to influence the US presidential poll, Trump said intelligence agencies never shared such information with him. India is preparing to evacuate a large group of its citizens who are stuck in China's coronavirus-hit Wuhan city by a special IAF plane, which is expected to land there with relief medical supplies today. About 90 to 100 Indians were expected to board the flight. India has also expressed its willingness to evacuate citizens from the neighborhood countries. India had announced plans to send Indian Air Force's largest plane, C-17 Globemaster, with medical supplies to China several days ago. Indian officials have blamed China for not granting the requisite clearance, a charge Beijing denies. However, officials here said on Tuesday that the special flight is expected to land in Wuhan on Wednesday as necessary permissions are being obtained. It is bringing relief supplies like medical gloves, suits, and other materials to be used in efforts to combat the COVID-19 in China. The death toll from coronavirus has reached 2,663, while the number of confirmed cases jumped to 77,658, Chinese officials said on Tuesday. India operated two special Air India flights on February 1 and 2 and airlifted 647 Indian nationals, mostly students, and 7 Maldivian nationals. About 100 people were expected to join the third flight, which would take them to Delhi, where they would undergo quarantine in special camps. The previous batches were kept at an army camp in Manesar. In a special note for the Indians in Wuhan and Hubei province who wanted to be evacuated, the mission informed them that arrangements are being made to pick them up and take them to airport. Embassy representatives who are already in touch with you individually will directly advise you regarding the exact time of pickup. We are making arrangements for your pickup and onward movement to Wuhan airport by vehicles hired by the embassy, the note said. You are requested to prepare for departure tomorrow morning, bearing in mind the points mentioned in the advisory already issued on this group, the note told the Indians. Kindly note that these arrangements are still tentative and subject to change. We appreciate your understanding and patience, it said. Indian Ambassador to China Vikram Misri recently said that the previous evacuations were difficult and a logistical nightmare as Hubei province and its capital Wuhan were under lockdown since January 23 with a complete ban on transportation services. And former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, who ruled for 30 years until he was ousted in a popular uprising against corruption and autocracy, died on Tuesday at the age of 91. A partner of the West in fighting Islamists, Mubarak presided over an era of stagnation and repression at home and was an early victim of the Arab Spring revolutions that swept the region. He died in intensive care a few weeks after undergoing surgery. Egypt's presidency and armed forces mourned him as a hero for his role in the 1973 Arab-Israeli War, and the former Air Force officer would be given a military funeral. 3 days of public mourning were declared and state television played clips of Mubarak with a black ribbon at the corner of the screen. Mubarak was arrested 2 months after being forced out by the protesters who crammed into Cairo's Tahrir Square in 2011, spent several years in jail and military hospitals. He was sentenced to life in prison for conspiring to murder 239 demonstrators during the 18-day revolt, but was freed in 2017 after being cleared of the charges. He was, however, convicted in 2015, along with his two sons, of diverting public funds to upgrade family properties. They were sentenced to 3 years in jail. There was no immediate reaction from Western capitals, which had valued Mubarak for preserving a peace treaty with Israel signed by his predecessor, Anwar al-Sadat. On behalf of Israel's citizens and government, I wish to express my deepest sorrow over the passing of President Hosni Mubarak, said Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. President Mubarak, a personal friend of mine, was a leader who led his nation to peace and security. The United Arab Emirates Minister of State for Foreign Affairs, Anwar Gargash, said on Twitter that the Arab world had lost a statesman who took significant national and historic positions. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.